Hello, everybody. Welcome to another broadcast here tonight. Broadcasting live over the World Wide Web. Wednesday night Bible study again as we go live over live stream. Pardon me if I sound kind of nasal, but you know what time of year it is down here in Atlanta. It's pollen season. And boy, this stuff is out here again, just like sawdust in the air. So you got to just kind of tough it out until this stuff passes out of the atmosphere. So we're still trying to make it with these sinus infections and all these pollen initiated health issues, but we got our Claritin and we got all of our stuff to fight it, so that's what we're doing. All right, let's get going here. Before we do, as we normally do, let's do the announcements. First, the announcements. We always cover the books that we suggest you read. These books are designed to enhance your spiritual growth and to help you as you endeavor to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the first book here is one entitled Rules of Engagement. Let me get the title up here for you. Rules of Engagement by Derek Prince. Rules of Engagement, saying preparing for your role in the spiritual battle. You have a role in this spiritual battle, and Rules of Engagement will prepare you for your role in this spiritual battle. Rules of Engagement. Get yourself a copy. You can find this book at Amazon.com, DerekPrince.com, the usual ebook locations. Rules of Engagement, Barnes & Noble, you know, those types of bookstores have them. Rules of Engagement by Derek Prince. It's a good book to prepare soldiers to engage an enemy in a spiritual war. Rules of Engagement. The next book is a book written by myself and Maisha Hunter entitled The Organic Gospel. That's the book cover there. The Organic Gospel. The Organic Gospel is designed to show you and teach you about how the gospel is actually alive. It's organic. It has the ability to grow, shape and mold you, transform your mind to make you into another kind of a person. You want to change in this. Everything that is focused on the gospel is centrally directed towards your change. You have to change. As you walk with Jesus Christ, you change, you metamorphosize. It's called a transformation in the Bible. This transformation is wrought in your mind. You change from what you used to be into what God wants you to be. And it's organically grown in you as you yield to the process governed by the Holy Spirit. The organic gospel, the gospel is alive. It's a seed sown and it grows out of you to change you. Get a copy, The Organic Gospel. You can find this book at www.theorganicgospel.net. www.theorganicgospel.net. And these books are $13.95 online right now. Get a copy. It will help you to grow and understand the process. www.theorganicgospel.net. Next announcement. Remember the prayer line. Immediately following this Bible study tonight, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, tonight and every night of the week, the prayer line is going on. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. We should be praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Holy Ghost. The prayer line provided as a service to the saints of God so you can get together with others of a like precious faith to pray to God. Faithfully believing that God will answer prayer. The prayer line every night, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That number is 641-715-3670. 641-715-3670. The prayer line available to the saints. Pray through, break through. We're seeking God for an answer. The prayer line every night, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That number is 641-715-3670. Access code 409-3670. 3:6-7. Next announcement. Remember, Dunamis Tabernacle, we're pressing up toward $100,000 in the building fund. And this is after 3 or 4 years of telling people about this. The Dunamis Tabernacle, what's the plan? We've got to raise up a different breed of Christian for a different time in our generation. We need people who are committed to a war effort against the devil, to bind the devil, stop him, to release the captives that he has bound in their minds. The Bible says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the mind, lest the glorious light of the gospel should shine through unto them. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So you see now, it's a warfare to break the chains of bondage off of the minds of people who are bound and held captive by the devil. The devil has orchestrated a warfare to bind the mind, to blind the mind, and to keep people chained up. And it's going to take interdimensional warlords to break this spell off of people's minds. Dunamis Tabernacle is designed not to be another pastor worshiping church. It's not centrally focused on people who want to be in offices and trying to run around with a ministry. Stop trying to run around and start a stupid ministry. It's about the concerted efforts of the saints who are now coming together collectively to do a job. Do a job, finish the work, and leave here. This is about people who are now independently, interdependently operating together to bring Jesus Christ back to earth as Lord and King. Personalities, trying to build ministries, trying to get your name in lights. All of that junk is going away. We need a different breed of Christian now. You know, people run around with all these titles and it's just silly now. You know, and whenever you hear somebody call themselves all these titles, you can be assured of one thing. They're probably not whatever they're promoting. Because the Bible says your gifts will make room for you. You don't have to promote yourself. You can be what you are and do the work of whatever you do because you become that thing. You know, you very seldom, you very, 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 very seldom ever see an apostle. An apostle is a rare person that may be having administration and governmental authority over continents, over whole regions of the earth and things of that nature. See how many people run around call themselves apostles? Most of these people are not apostles. They're just men and women full of a bunch of narcissistic gibberish, self-advancement and self-promotion, trying to look like something for the folks. So they ordain themselves an apostle so folks can worship them, thinking that an apostle is on the top of the feeding chain so nobody can tell them what to do. You very rarely ever meet in your lifetime an apostle. So you can disregard most of the junk that calls itself an apostle. Most of it is just foolishness. It's time to break out of this church stuff and this religious stupor. Wake up and let God use you to save somebody else. Dunamis Tabernacle will be designed to get the job done. Everybody equipped to handle the word. Not a bunch of folks vying to get into the pulpit to be a preacher, but equipping people to do the work on the ground. We need boots on the ground to save people. We need folks that can save people in close relationships, in your homes, on the job, in the lines at the grocery store. We need an army dispatched to the world to save souls. Not a bunch of folks clamoring to be something in a silly church. I don't even want to be around like that. I don't want to be in a pulpit every week preaching at people. It's work to be done around the world. My vision is to see the church equipped so fully that everybody in the church is equipped to deliver a message from the pulpit if necessary. What do you need some star or some personality up in the pulpit preaching at you all day for? That is so silly. That's silly. Change your thinking. Change your mind. Dunamis Tabernacle, designed to equip everybody to do the work of the ministry. Support it. Give to it. You see how hard it is to get offerings and contributions to it? It's because it's a change in thinking. It's a change in the paradigm in the church. Most of you have been brainwashed to believe you come to church to sit in theater-style seating, listening to performances. I guess you go to see Luther Vandross or Patti LaBelle sing to you. You go to see a preacher preach you up into a stupor and entertain you. That is so ridiculous. That is so silly. Stop doing that. You should be grown up and matured in church. Can't you see that the apostles spent 3.5 years with Jesus and he put boots on the ground after that? 3.5 years with the Lord and the apostles are going to work doing the job. And we're sitting in church at 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40 years, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, brainwashed, incapacitated, and arrested from the pulpit, following some man or woman into some silly ministry work. Wake up out of the coma. Get yourself in this thing so that you become the vessel that God is using. The Bible says you become a vessel yourself fit for the master to use. It's time to change the church paradigm. We need a new church order to address a new world order. Get up, get out of here, get moving. Let God change you so you can be used to do the job. Support Dunamis Tabernacle, the first of its kind, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, open all the time, addressing every need of the community and the people at large. People work different shifts, different times a day. Church services go on all day, every day. Praise and worship all day, every day. Prayer all day, every day. Casting out demons all day, every day. Church is a living organism, not a controlled organization. I'll say that again. Church is a living organism, not a controlled organization. Wake up. Support Dunamis Tabernacle. www.omegaministries.org. www.omegaministries.org. Click on support, then donate. We'll lift up the first of its kind and then replicate Dunamis Tabernacles everywhere we can to see the church equip the saints to do the work of the ministry, to stop following personality cults and men and women who are nothing but narcissistic, self-advancing, self-promoting stars in the religious circus, and we all need to be delivered from it. It's time to break out and do the work of God yourself. www.omegaministries.org. Click on support, then donate. Man, we want to move out. We're ready to go. But we're looking for a few good men. A few good men. The women always converge on the men. I'll say that again. The women always converge on the men of God. When real men of God come to the forefront, women will almost magnetically be drawn to where the men are. Why? Because men have a natural ability to lead and to govern, and women are looking for security and leadership. But right now we've got so many feminized men that the church is in chaos. The church pulpit has been taken over by metrosexuals and feminized girly men. It's time to change it and get some men with some gonads, some gusto, and some punch up there to lead this thing. Come on. Stop sitting around and looking and get involved. 6,500 people are in the Omega group on Facebook and you just sit there, pitiful, emaciated, your guts cut out of you, unable to do anything. The paradigm is in place. The structure is in place. The shell is there. The skeleton is there. Now you need to do something about it. Get up. Get out of there. Leave that stupid church mess you're involved in alone and get yourself equipped to do the work yourself. www.omegaministries.org. Click on support, then donate. This is not your grandmama's church. Last thing. The conference this year. We'll be kicking off the conference June 1st through June 4th. Every year we have one conference for the saints around the world to get together. The ones that know about Omega Ministries, the ones that support it, and the ones that are actually blessed through Omega Ministries to come together on one accord for 3 or 4 days of worship, praise, prayer, and just ministry to just kind of edify you and build you up. A lot of you sit alone in places with no church available to you. So we are basically putting everything we do in the forefront for you to have some avenue of growth in God until God establishes the local churches he wants to put up and build up around the world. So we are a stopgap measure We don't look for you to be a person that's living in Hackensack, New Jersey, trying to attend here. But we are stopgap until God reaches people he can put in places of authority and leadership to govern the body of Christ correctly. So we have a conference once a year to edify you, to help build you up, and hopefully to give you some fellowship with people of a like precious faith. This year down at Hammock Beach Resort, Hammock Beach Resort, spelled H-A-M-M-O-C-K, just north of Daytona Beach, Florida. At the Hammock Beach Resort, we'll be having the Soldiers of Light Conference, the Beach Edition. Soldiers of Light Conference, the Beach Edition. We have about 85 to 90 people on Facebook who say they're coming. But that's not accounting for everybody that's coming. So we reserved 150 hotel days, based on the numbers that were given to us by you guys. So now it's time to register so we can give the hotel the final head count. We need you to register right now at www.omegaministries.org. The first page you see come up will be a promotion for the beach conference, the Soldiers of Light Beach Conference down at Hammock Beach Resort. Bottom right hand corner, you'll see a button saying click here to register. You register and it'll create an account for you. So you can pay for the registration. It'll email you a password. And once you set your password, you go back in and register. Then you go through a process of actually reserving your room by calling the hotel and telling them if you need a 1, 2, or 3-bedroom suite based on how many people you have coming. And a 1-day payment will reserve your room there and you're good to go. Now you can actually register multitudes of adults with one registration with a room captain for that particular group. Once you register, you'll see that you can register 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people. Actually, a 3-bedroom suite, I think, will sleep up to 10 people. A 2-bedroom suite will sleep up to 6 people. And a 1-bedroom suite will sleep up to 4 people. So you see now, there are sofa sleepers and things of that nature there in the suites. So you can actually register more than one person when you register. You just have to have the people pay you the $170 registration fee, and then you register for everybody, and then the room captain can reserve the room, and you're good to go. And everybody just contribute to the pool to pay for the room. So one person can handle the registration for the group staying in that particular room by going through the process. So we have people registering right now. I think 3 people registered yesterday and today. And they're coming in now. But by May 1st, we want to have everybody lined up, ready to go. Registration will proceed past May 1st, but May 1st is the target date to let the hotel know what kind of attrition we have. We'll begin to cut rooms off because we don't have the number that we required. So we got to know something by May 1st. So stop waiting and procrastinating and do it. The $170 covers all your food for 4 days. You gotta understand that now you're not buying any food. We have a hospitality suite that's going to be reserved for all your food by day. And all the different ministry times are allotted food at the ministry. So you'll have dinner served and lunch served and buffet served. So your food is covered with the $170. Nobody can go anywhere for 4 days and eat for $170. It's impossible to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day for less than $60 or $70 a day. So you'd be looking at possibly up to $280 to $300 for the whole event if you just went down there and just bought your food. So the $170 through a deal made with the hotel is able to eliminate your food bill and so eliminate the cost of food. So when people try to tell you we charge for the meeting, they're a charge for the meeting lie. It's covering your food, and the event is designed so you don't have a food expense. Stop listening to ignorant people tell you anything because they don't know what they're talking about. Come on down to the conference. Get in there. Pray through. Be blessed. If you need deliverance, have that devil cast out of you and keep moving in God. We got to leave the dodos and the dumbbells behind now because we don't have time to fool around with this. We've got to get some people who are serious about what God is about to do, raise them up, put them on the front line, and achieve God's purposes in these last days. The time for playing is over. Come on down to the conference. June 1st through June 4th. Registration open now, www.omegaministries.org. Click on the link and follow the prompts through the process and come on down there. Have everything done this month now by May 1st. We're going to supercharge this thing and get it moving. We got a lot of recreation built into our time down there. You got time at the beach. You got time to have some fun with your kids in the pool. Go down the water slide. Play golf. Play tennis. Ride the jet skis. Have a good time. But incorporated in all of that is serious business. Serious kingdom business. Stop being a spectator. Stop being a procrastinator. And become a participator. The Soldiers of Light Beach Edition Conference, June 1st through June 4th, www.omegaministries.org. Register now. Be there. Don't greet me there. Beat me there. June 1st through June 4th this year. All right. That's all the announcements. So now we're going to get into the word for tonight. Tonight we're talking about the big lie. What exactly is the big lie? There's a lie being told down here. It's a big lie. It's an ugly lie. It's a brutal lie. It's a lie doing a lot of damage to a lot of people. Adjust this camera a little bit. It's doing a lot of damage to a lot of people, this lie. And it's time to totally disprove this dirty lie to set people free and get you moving in the right direction. These lies are undermining the development of the saints. And it's time to change some things. People have been told so many lies and have been told so many half-truths concerning the gospel that it's really undermining their development. So it's time to break the strongholds off of your mind and expose the big lies that are being told. It's crucial for you to come to an understanding of the gospel so that you can be used in the last days to set captives free. So we're talking about tonight the big lie. The big lie. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you for the word of God that is able to save our souls. God, take these words and quicken them to the hearts of the hearers. God, break the strongholds off of the minds of church people. Church people are so bound by so much junk that doesn't matter. God, release folk from prison cells in their own minds. They've set up under so many silly ministries that their minds have been contaminated and made foggy by all this foolishness. God, purge the darkness out of the mind. The gospel is hid because the God of this world has blinded the mind. Lift that blindness, lift that filth out of the mind, God, so they can be set free to see the liberty found in Christ. God, do a new thing on the earth, moved by the power of the Holy Ghost, to bind the devil, cast the devil out, raise up a new generation of believers that will take the kingdom by force. God, we appreciate it. We know you'll do it because you can. I know you will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The big lie. The big lie. The devil's telling a big, ugly, bony-faced lie. So let's look at this thing. The big lie, Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, we're going to look at Titus chapter 2 beginning at verse 11 and we'll read through Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 2 verse 11, and we're going to read right from verse 11 right through chapter 3 to show you the foundation that surrounds the big lie. Titus 2:11 reads thusly, "For the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men." The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. What is the grace of God that brings salvation that has appeared to all men? His name is Jesus Christ. Grace is not something. Grace is somebody. Grace is not something. Grace is somebody. What's the big lie? The big lie is that grace covers my sin. That's the lie. The big lie is grace covers my sin. In other words, grace intrudes into my sin, but it does not expunge my sin. I can live in sin while I live under God's grace. That's the big lie. That's a lie birthed in hell. If you remain in sin after Jesus Christ pulls you out of sin, you will be damned. The cross effectively got rid of sin because the sin was placed on Jesus to take it off of you. So it was two works done on the cross. One, the cross purges you from guilt. You're not guilty anymore. See, the problem with the human race is that they're guilty of their own sins. The grace of God is to place the sin on Jesus, who is the scapegoat. Remember the scapegoat in the Old Testament? The priest would place his hands on the scapegoat and then release the scapegoat into the wilderness. And the scapegoat took the sins of the Israelites away from the camp. Jesus is our scapegoat. Jesus took our sins on himself on the cross. Remember, the Old Testament teaches us the wages of sin is death. This is why Jesus was put to death. He bore the penalty for the whole world. Billions and billions of people down through the centuries. Who knows how many billions of people have lived on this planet? But every person on this planet had their sins carried by Jesus Christ if they accept him as their personal savior. So you must accept Jesus to receive from Jesus the grace of liberation from sin. The big lie is, after I come into this thing and interact with Jesus, I can keep sinning. That's a damnable lie. That is the big lie. Let's look at it. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. What does grace do? Teaching us. Grace teaches us that denying ungodly and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So grace is teaching us that we're to live lives that are denying ungodliness, worldly lust, and that we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, this present age, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So the Bible calls Jesus our great God and our Savior. So I told you there's two things that the cross and Jesus Christ hanging on it expunged from the human race. The first one was guilt, because he carried your sin and eliminated your guilt. The second thing the cross did was Jesus eliminated the law as a way to actually interact with God to earn righteousness, because the law could not earn righteousness. Now, let's understand what the law did and what it was given for. This is something that very few Christians understand. So when you're still in the flesh and guilty of your sin, you will have a natural inclination to put yourself back under the law and try to serve the Ten Commandments and try to do religious works. And you think the junk that you're doing means something to God. You go to church on Saturday. You pay your tithes. You do all this stuff that means nothing to God, believing that servitude and observance of laws is required by God, but it's not. See, the Bible added the word "the" in front of law a lot of times. It talks about the law. But in fact, the Bible actually says in the original text that you can't serve law. You can't serve under law to attain righteousness. It's not the law. It's not the law of Moses. It's any kinds of laws, any kinds of works to earn righteousness will invalidate whatever you're doing. So the laws are not able to make you righteous. You must receive righteousness by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, who bore your sins and took them away. That's the grace of God. Jesus Christ is the grace of God. That he provided a sacrifice for you and me because God knew we had no ability to work out any plan of redemption in and of ourselves. Why? Here is the problem. The law was a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ, the Bible says. Why was the law given? Now, this is a mystery that very few Bible expositors will even teach you and tell you because I'm not really sure that they know. But it doesn't matter one way or the other because I'm about to tell you. You remember now in Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, the Bible says that the law was a schoolmaster to bring you to Christ. The law was given and designed to bring you to Jesus Christ. All right, why would the law and how does the law direct you to Jesus Christ? The law is God's great diagnostic tool. You know, when you go to the doctor has to diagnose what's wrong with you. God knows what's wrong with us, but he has to show us. So the law, the Bible says, is the strength of sin. When God gives law, he shows you just how messed up and crazy you really are. Because you find out there's a natural inclination to resist what God says. The Bible says when law comes, sin revives and I die. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. Nobody has a natural inclination to do anything but rebel against God and do something contrary to what he says. So the law is designed to show us, to diagnose for us, the fact that we have a sin inclination in us. We have a desire to not do what we're told to do. So God's commandment shows us that that inclination will rise up in us whenever we're told what to do. People are like this to this very day. They hate to be told what to do. And so what does God give? Commandments. It makes perfect sense. If he knows you have a natural inclination to rebel against him, then he stands there and he commands you to do things. And it makes you just more angry. You grit your teeth more. You get more riled up. Because the very nature in you stands against God. The Bible says by nature, we were children of God's wrath, his rage. The Bible says God is angry with the wicked all day long. Why? Because they're rebels by nature. So the law is only a diagnostic tool. It's given to diagnose the problem, to show you and me, man, we got some serious problems. I got a serious problem. You don't believe that? If you're a woman with a Jezebel spirit, stop trying to be a Jezebel in and of your own strength. Won't happen. A Jezebel spirit is a force. It's an entity. It's an essence that has you just trapped in it until you die to it. Everything that binds you has to be put to death. The Bible says to mortify your members on the earth. You got to kill off that thing that's a rebel against God. That's why you need the power of the Holy Ghost to actually help you to mortify that thing in you that's anti-Christ and anti-God. The law actually reinforces that thing. But the Bible says in 1 Timothy 1:9, the law is not made for a righteous man. So once you're righteous, you don't need law because you do what God requires by nature, led by the Holy Ghost and not by compulsion. Remember, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 and following, when you give, you don't give grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So you don't have to give anything, but you're led by the Holy Ghost to give, not grudgingly or of necessity because you have a willing heart to give. So that eliminates the necessity for paying a tithe. There is no New Testament tithe because there's no resistance in you to do anything that God tells you to do. So why would you need somebody to command you to pay a silly 10% of anything when that's not even in effect now? You see how people are likely to go back to law and try to work it out some kind of a way. And you have now done what? You've nullified grace. You've nullified Christ being formed in you, the hope of glory. You walk in the spirit, not fulfilling the lust of your flesh, because now you walk under the auspices of the Holy Ghost, obedient to God through Jesus Christ. It's a relationship of obedience because you hear, you have a nature that wills to do it, and you follow the instructions of the Holy Ghost, whereby you walk in freedom. is the perfect law of liberty. So the two things the cross did for you, it expunged guilt and it got rid of the law. The Bible says the cross, Jesus nailed the law to the cross, taking it out of the way because it was against us. It was a diagnostic tool to show us that we were indeed exceedingly sinful. So now, guilt and the law are gone. So what is it replaced with? It's replaced with the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that set us free from the law of sin and death. Romans chapter 8. You're led by the Holy Ghost. All the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. It's a new and living way. This is so easy to understand, and look how many church people can't get it because they're still trying to earn it through their own self-effort. That's why people are sitting on the internet on Facebook making videos all day, posting stuff all day, talking all day, trying to be some deep Bible expositor all day, trying to be deep, just working, trying to look like, wanting to get validation from people telling them, great word. Ooh, that was so just anointed. And looking for all that silly junk because they're still trying to work their way in and prove something. Stop trying to prove all this silly junk. And let God take up that corpse you should be walking around in and use you at his discretion. Man, it's bad out here. It's a religious world with everybody trying to do all this silly junk that's not required simply because they want to be somebody still. They're in the flesh, loving the world, wanting to be noticed in the world, wanting to be recognized, wanting to be somebody, wanting to look like something. And you're killing yourself doing all this stuff for nothing. It's just a fruitless effort. It's meaningless. All you got to do is present your body as a living sacrifice according to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind to prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That's all you got to do. Give them a body to live through. Remove you out of the equation. What does that mean? You got to remove soul life. It's the soul life that God is expunging. It's the self-awareness. It's the self-exaltation. It's the self-gratification. It's all the narcissistic parts of you. The ego that wants to be seen, noticed. Notice that everybody's taking selfies and putting it on the internet all day. Why? Because they're into themselves. They want to be noticed. They want to have somebody tell them something about themselves. Rejected. Downtrodden. Your husband left you. Your boyfriend spit in your face. Now you're on the internet wanting somebody to ooh and ah over your revenge body. You went to the gym and got yourself a revenge body. So now you want all the guys to just fall down when they see you on the internet and worship you. No one cares about you. Accept that. No one cares about me. I accept that. That's beautiful. Now get on with doing the job. Don't look for anybody to give you attaboys and validate you and try to verify you and vindicate you and all this stuff. Get on with serving the Lord and do what he told you to do. It's just that simple. Stop wanting to be seen. Stop wanting to be somebody. Stop trying to be somebody in the world. This thing is like a plague. It's like a disease on the body of Christ. It's time to let all this self-effort go so Christ can live again. It's time for Christ to live at our expense. So you see now, grace will teach you that you got to deny all of this crazy stuff. Leave all the crazy out of the equation. Grace is teaching you that you have to deny all the ungodliness, the worldly lust, so you can live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Now look at this. Now, how can you be living in sin when he redeemed you from all iniquity? How can you be under grace still sinning when he redeemed you from all iniquity? See, these folks are telling you once saved, always saved. And they're telling you that grace intrudes into your sin. While you're sinning, you're still saved. You're a damned soul in sin because grace takes you out of sin and teaches you to live godly. That's the big lie, that grace intrudes into your sin. Grace does not permeate sin. When you go back to sin, you have now frustrated the grace of God. You crucified the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. See, that's what the Bible says. You become guilty of the crucifixion of Christ when you continue on in sin after God called you out of it. You're going to be damned if you die a sinner. I don't care how many times you said a sinner's prayer. You go back to sin, you're going to be lost. People will ask you concerning once saved, always saved. They ask me all the time. Well, Pastor Price, you believe that a person can lose their salvation, don't you? No, I don't believe you can lose your salvation. I believe you can willfully leave your salvation. Salvation is a constant. God, the Bible says, God has saved the whole world already. It's a finished work in heaven. You can come to Jesus and willfully leave Jesus at your discretion. So you don't lose salvation because salvation is a constant. You left it. You left him. See, when you leave salvation, you don't leave some type of a essence or an element that God established for you. You left a person. Everything is about a person. To leave salvation is to leave Jesus. So when you talk about losing salvation, that's not some element or some essence that exists somewhere. It's a person. He is the Savior. He is salvation. So when you leave him, by going back to sin, the Bible calls you what? An adulterer. You left him for the devil and sin. So you didn't lose salvation. You left salvation. That's right. Anybody tell you anything different from that is in a delusion. Listen to this. He says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. If you're saved, you should be peculiar. To the world, you should be strange. That's normal. They should see you as some kind of a weirdo. That's good. You mean you don't watch pornography like me? You don't go to the strip joint like me? You don't smoke the dope like me? You don't smoke 3 packs of cigarettes a day like me? You don't drink yourself into a stupor every Friday night, vomiting all night, throwing up liquor? You don't lay around with whores? What's wrong with you? You don't have multiple sexual partners like me? You don't dress like a stripper like me, like a hoochie mama, like a prostitute like me? What's wrong with you? You're not full of hatred like me, unforgiveness like me, bitter like me? See, you're a weirdo because you've been extracted from the sin life, purged from all the detrimental elements in your soul. So God has made you a habitation for himself and you're becoming normal. So therefore, you're peculiar to the world because you're normal. They are abnormal. You're sane. They're insane. That's why you appear to be peculiar. You don't gossip. You don't care about the Kardashians. You could care less about Beyonce's latest record. You don't care about Lil Wayne. You don't care about any of the news, none of the junk, none of the reports from the Inquirer or TMZ. You don't care about any of that junk, so you're peculiar. He has actually purified unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Why? Because you've been expunged from the thing in you that resists the works of God. You can obey, and the obedient acts are the good works. When you obey the Holy Ghost promptings, you are doing the good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise you. Now, this is Paul talking to Titus. He says, these things, young Titus, speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Why do they say that? Because people will despise you when you talk like I'm talking right now. People hate freedom. I will say that again. People hate freedom. They love bondage. Why? Because under bondage, they can be self-righteous and do what they want to do and claim as God. Freedom is found in the Spirit. The Bible calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, the Bible says. So that's why people hate freedom, because the Holy Ghost governs freedom. The flesh, sin, and the devil governs bondage. So people opt for bondage because they can do what they want to do, they think. But in fact, they're doing what the devil is telling them to do. That's what it's all about. So when you preach a message of freedom, people will despise you. They'll go to church, sit up under a homosexual, a woman pastor, a freak, a nut, a kook, a wacko, a false prophet all day long. But when you tell them, come and get free, get full of the Holy Ghost, get the fruit of the Spirit in you, get the gifts of the Spirit operating through you, and be a self-contained dynamo representing God in liberty, they resent that. They despise that. Why? Because I'm not glorified. Jesus is. I want to be somebody. I want to be seen. I wanted you to notice me and recognize my anointing, my heavy anointing. Man, nobody's studying you. Nobody's thinking about you. Nobody cares about you. Let Christ live and you get out of the way. You must decrease. Let him increase. That soul life is able to mimic spiritual life. It's soul life. It's soulish effort. You can do anything that is spiritual by emulating spiritual things with your soul. Watchman Nee called it the latent power of the soul. It's a latent power found in the soul. It's a work of the flesh talked about in Galatians chapter 5 called emulations. You'll see what Christ acted like and you'll try to mimic it and emulate it using soul power. That's why people try to pray so deeply, like they're so anointed. And they use a lot of tonal inflections and things like, yes, Lord, and oh, Lord, I just praise you, Lord, thank you, Lord, hallelujah. Look, man, stop all of that crazy junk and just say the prayer. What's wrong with you? That soul power, that's just a bunch of religious junk that people have been taught. It's time to let the flesh go and just let Christ live. Be normal again, for God's sake. You went to church and went crazy. Why don't you get your mind back in church and be normal again? Just use plainness of speech and talk. The apostle says we use plainness of speech. Look at chapter 3. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man. These are Paul's instructions to Titus to tell the folks. Speak evil of no man. To be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also are sometimes one foolish. Now, you know, all of us had a apple out of that bag. Now, you don't want people to know how foolish you really were. You don't want folk to know the stupid things you did. Because you know you were foolish. So we were also foolish, disobedient, deceived. Look at where we come from. We ourselves also, it says, were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lust. You know that you were. You were the slave of diverse lust. Look what the man is saying. Serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice. You know what the word malice really is in our present day vernacular? Malice is depravity. We were living the life of a dog in depravity and envy, hateful and hating one another. This is where we came from. Look what happens now in verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. After that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, we're already establishing that we're talking about Jesus Christ, who is God, our Savior, appeared toward us, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. Now, look, now you and I were messed up, according to verse 3. Foolish, disobedient, serving diverse lust and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful and hating one another. That's us, all of us. But then he says, he didn't save us by works of righteousness, which we have done, because we were doing this filthy junk every day. But according to his mercy, he saved us. His mercy, God had mercy on us. Don't mistake mercy with grace. Mercy is God coming to you in spite of yourself. You were a dirty, low down, good for nothing dog. The Bible says there is none righteous, no light, not one. All of our righteousness is like a filthy menstrual cloth, maximum potential. Your maximum potential sitting there unsaved is that you're equal to a filthy used sanitary napkin, according to the Bible. Maximum potential. So you bring nothing to this. Your master's degree, your doctorate, your success, your money, your status in life. Maximum potential, a filthy used menstrual cloth. Think about that. No, then again, don't think about that. But you see, his mercy came to us in spite of ourselves. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for the ungodly and the unrighteous. You didn't deserve salvation. I didn't deserve salvation. It's the mercy of God. Mercy brought grace into effect to take our sins away. The guilt and the law is what took away that which was against us, moving it out of the way. So grace now captivates us. What is grace? It's a person, Jesus.